We're in Ephesians this morning. I trust you have your Bibles. Wave them to me if you do. Let's read this passage in English, chapter 4 of Ephesians, beginning with verse 11. And he, Jesus Christ, gave some to be apostles and some prophets, some evangelists and some pastor teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, into a perfect man, and to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, and that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Jesus Christ, and from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. That's a tremendous passage, and it would be wonderful to do it all in one sitting, but we would probably all get pretty tired, so we'll do it just a little bit at a time. Jesus Christ, in speaking to his apostles, when he first called them when they were still his disciples, before they officially received the name apostles or the title, Jesus said, I will build my church. And there's no power on earth, no power outside of the sphere of earth, no power in hell, including Satan, that can overcome it. The church is God's church. It's his body. It's his bride. When we study the structure of the church, and we talked about it a little bit in Bible Hour this morning, we find that God has established a structure in our society, in government, in family, in our individual lives, whether you're at work or whether you're at school or wherever you will be. There is always somebody that is in charge of somebody else. And if somebody is in charge of you, that means you are submissive and supposed to be obedient to what they ask you to do. If you work at a place and you go to work in the morning and your employer asks you to do a certain job and you say, today, I don't want to do this. I don't think you will work the rest of that day or the rest of that week at that particular employment. You do what your boss asks you to do. And of course, there's a reward factor there. We expect to get paid at the end of the week for what we have worked. But there is a structure also in the church, and we need to realize and remember, and Apostle Paul, over in many of his different epistles, he reiterates the fact that the head of the church is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the second person in the Trinity. He is in authority, and several times throughout Ephesians, we have already read verses in chapter 1 and elsewhere that Jesus Christ has been established by God the Father as the head of the church. And elsewhere in Scripture, we find that even Jesus Christ is submissive in a symbolic way to the authority of his Father, especially when Jesus Christ lived on earth. Jesus said, and we find Jesus Christ praying. Even at the garden when he was going to the cross, Jesus prayed and he said, Father, this is not really what I want to do, but if it is your will, I will do this. Jesus submitted himself to the authority of his heavenly Father. And so in the church, we have this following structure that we find in Scripture. We find God the Father working out our salvation through the Son, Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, speaking to us through his word that he gave to his disciples or his apostles in the New Testament. That was a special privilege to be an apostle, to receive the words of Jesus Christ, and whether it's the evangelist in the Gospels, as we read, that gave to us the life of Jesus and the gospel message, or whether it's the book of Acts that Luke wrote and described the growth of the church, or whether it's the epistles that the different apostles wrote, or even John writing Revelation. This is all a privilege for the writer who was enraptured and engulfed by the Holy Spirit and commanded to write these words down. And these words have become our authority in the church. Now, the way we receive this authority is through our ears, not through our mouth, but through our ears. God speaks to those of us to listen to his word through our ears. But the spokesperson is God's appointed leader in the church, which, according to our text here, were several different categories of leadership that began in the first New Testament church. And our text tells us that at first, when the church was just being formed on the day of Pentecost and in the first few years of the church, the leadership of the church consisted of these four groups of men, but primarily the apostles and the prophets. And we've looked in detail in the last couple of weeks about the role the apostles had. Jesus in Matthew 10 and Mark 3, those of you that came Sunday night several years ago, we did a series on the 12 disciples. Remember, on the 12 apostles. It says that Jesus personally chose them, empowered them, and then he sent them out. And he said, go. And they did that. And the result was that the church was built and they laid the foundation for the church. But Jesus Christ has also given these leaders to the church as gifts. We studied the fact that conquering kings, kings that were victorious in battle and in war, would oftentimes come home and lead a parade in the city where they lived. And first of all, they would have the prisoners of war that would march in front of them. And they would have the animals and the camels and the sheep and everybody. And then they would have all the riches and the gold and the things that they were able to capture. And then they were often, before the leader would come, they would have all of the prisoners of war that had been liberated by this king, that had gone to liberate those of his kingdom, or maybe his wife or children or other people. And then he would take from the riches and he would give gifts to those people that were his subjects. And that is what Jesus Christ is doing to the church. It's his church, but he gives his church special leaders whose job it is to know the word and then to feed it to you. Our job is to stand here and to provide it to you so when you hear it, it goes into your heart and provides spiritual food for you so that when you leave here today, you can go home, you can go to work tomorrow, you can go to school, and you can walk, verse 1 of chapter 4, Paul says, worthily of the calling with which God has called you. We also looked at a third group of church leaders that were called evangelists, and we have evangelists in our day today, and these are basically, if we put it into our 21st century English, these are our missionaries. These are the people that work with the people that are outside the church. An evangelist's primary responsibility is to proclaim the Evangelion in Greek, to herald, to be a herald of the good news and to proclaim the good news to those people that have not heard the good news. The people in the church, you that are here today, you that are saved, you that are already members of the church, you hear the good news and you hear the teaching through the gifts that God has given you, and that is we, your pastors. And God speaks through our mouth by the power of the Holy Spirit, reiterating and reading and teaching and explaining God's word to you so that you could grow up, as our text says, and become mature. Some of you kids that are still in school, you can't wait until you graduate. Some of you can't wait to maybe get out of the house that you live in and live your own lives and have your own apartment and your own car and do your own thing. Spiritually speaking, there is no such thing. We all are to conform to the image that Jesus Christ wants us to be, and that is the actual image of Jesus Christ. We read in 1 John that when we see him, we will be like he is. That is our ultimate goal of when we come into the presence of God. But until then, we are to walk worthy of the calling with which God has called us. Now, when we come to this text that says pastor, teachers, there's unfortunately a lot of confusion about what these words actually mean, because in 2,000 years of church history, different denominations and different churches have used different words from Scripture, and we have three basic words in Scripture that describe what the pastor, what the leader in the church does, and because of these several different words, there is oftentimes confusion as far as the title of a person or how he's to be called or what he is to do. What Scripture teaches us is there is one man. There is the leader in the church that God appoints, God chooses and puts us here. Now, what we do is described in different ways. I am a man. We have males and we have females in our church. I am a son to my parents, and a grandson, but I am also a father and a grandfather to my children and grandchildren. In the cultural country we live in, I work for an employee. I am, in Paul's terms, I am a servant. In a sense, pastors are servants to the church. We serve you. But we're appointed and we're put here by God for this. So each of us in our life has different words that describe us. Daughter, son, uncle, aunt, father, mother, etc. Even as Christians. Okay? And the same thing with the leadership that God gives to the church. Now, again, we need to remember that these positions have been filled by Jesus Christ himself. And the first term we encounter throughout Scripture is the term elder, or the person that is mature. In Russian, we say starets, or the person that has gray hair, or gnarled hair in my case, okay? But we talk about somebody that has some experience. We say he's not green behind his ears because he's had some experience on his job, what he's doing. And the Greek word presbyter is translated into the Russian presbyter. And we all know this word as a word that describes a pastor. And some churches use that word, and then some churches use the word pastor. And they make a distinction. They say, well, we have a pastor, and another church, well, we have a presbyter. Well, what the two gentlemen do is the exact same thing. It's just they have different titles. The word poimen, or the word pastor, literally means is the one that leads his sheep to green pastures and still water. So in a sense, we prepare your meals for you and then we feed you. Okay? Now there's a reason for that. Not because we're good chefs or good cooks or necessarily good speakers, but because we can take the word of God that God's given to us, and we give it to you, so that when you partake of this word, verse 12, you would be equipped. Now, the word equipped talks to us in a military sense about a soldier that goes into the army and he has to go through basic training. They teach him how to dress. They tell him when to get up and when to sit down and how to eat and how to address his officer and the general. And when he goes to war, they teach him how to shoot a gun or a bow and arrow or use a sword. All of these things are part of a process, okay? The equipping of the saints. That is what the leadership in the church is called, for us to teach you, to prepare you, so that you could go out and you could be effective Christians. And as Paul says, to walk worthy and in unity as Christians ought to be. And so we have shepherds that lead us, and we have elders that guide us or give us counsel or teach us and instruct us. And then there's the third word that Paul uses here in Ephesians, and in the Greek it's connected together. It's one word. It's poimen didaskalos, which means the one who leads, protects, and cares for the church by teaching them. And the main role of a pastor is always to be in a position to be able to feed his flock by teaching them. Okay? And then there's the last word that is the word episkopos, that we get the word bishop from. And some people say this is the person that is over everybody else, over and above everybody else. But in the Greek language, what this word means is the one that is responsible to the church unto God. We're like the high priest that in the Old Testament would go into the presence of God and represent the nation before God. And Hebrews says that we are responsible for you. You know, if you're a sheep, you leave the fold and you get lost, we're responsible for you to God. So don't run away. Be obedient sheep. Be submissive sheep. Feed on the word that God gives us. Just as a child is totally dependent on his parents and his mother and the milk she gives him when she starts. Okay? And so ultimately, whatever role, whatever God calls us to do, we are called to do that. Okay, and as we read here from verse 11 all the way through verse 16, this whole passage talks about the church as many individuals coming together, being led by their leadership in order to live worthy. And to do that, you need to be taught and trained. And that is the main function, and that is why we're here on a weekly basis. May God bless his word. Amen.